Good to have y'all.
We are
with us tonight. We're in Matthew 24, and what we started to look at, if I can read verse, I'll read verse number 3. Verse 1 and 2 have to do with the disciples pointing out the temple to the Lord, and the Lord said, take a look, because pretty soon not one stone is going to be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Then verse 3 says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So what we're basically talking about here are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Okay, now, before we get into that or continue with it, I think we got, we did the false Christ last week. Did we do the wars, verses 6 and 7? Does anybody remember?
I've got the wars.
Okay, Miss Susan takes notes, so she's going to look.
We got to...
I don't think so.
Okay, what do we get to?
We went as far as Menahem, Eleazar, Josephus, the five groups of false Messiah, and that's where you stopped.
That's the false Christ. Now, here's what I'd like you to notice this. When we talk about audience relevance, we're talking about who is speaking, who they're speaking to, all right? That sort of thing. So here the apostles asked, or the disciples, it says, asked him privately, tell us, who's the us there?
Disciples.
The disciples. Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now watch verse 4 very carefully. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads who?
You.
For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Then verse 6, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Who's he speaking to?
Disciples.
The disciples. We get down to verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. So he's talking directly to his disciples, you. All right? Now watch this, if you would. Come back to chapter 10 with me. Please. Matthew 10. I'm almost there. Here we go. And I want to read to you verses 16 through 23. All right. Now watch what it says. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will even be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the spirit of your father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But wherever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to, listen, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. You is very important there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's not me.
Notice verse 23. Now, I did this on purpose. There's a number of verses in the Gospels, in Paul's writings, that definitely show us that second coming was imminent. Okay? Is right around the corner. And he's talking to you. Not you, but who's the you here in the context?
Disciples.
Now, either the Lord, dare I say he lies, or what he's saying is true. And, of course, I believe what he's saying is true. He's talking to his disciples. He's telling them certain things, and we're going to see here in a minute. We're going to look at more of the signs that the you people ask him about, the disciples. All right? And when we get down to verse 23 of chapter 10, but whenever they persecute you, and we'll see that as we go on here in the study, in one city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Now, this is very interesting as you read verse number 23, because Paul's going to tell us that the gospel went everywhere. But evidently everywhere, which we'll see, okay, in the known world, okay, for example, the nation of Israel here, Palestine, whatever you want to call it, some cities were passed over, but the message got out. But the Lord says he's coming back before they can do what in verse 23?
To go out to the cities.
Before they finish going through the cities of Israel.
The Lord will come back.
So he's coming very quickly. And he's telling them, hey, before you finish going through the cities of Israel, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. And this is a verse that needs to be stuck in our hearts and minds, all right, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things, you know, you could wink at and, yeah, well, it could be, it can't, but this is one of them. I really think, as we've seen, and I gave the testimony in church as we go back to Matthew 24 about speaking with Rich Bonanno, okay, on Saturday. And he says, how come nobody ever taught us about audience relevance?
Well, we did that years ago. To whom, for whom, by whom?
That's right, but we didn't pay attention to it.
Well, maybe not as
Mr. Cloverdale.
Now.
Yeah, that's Mr. Cloverdale's thing that we have.
Right,
and I still
right.
have that in front of one of my Bibles, all right?
And we did dispensationally, but now we're talking something else.
Dispensationally doesn't matter there.
No, but I mean, we went as far as the dispensational. Now we're talking more revelation.
Yeah.
That right. we're having. Yes.
So so you have to look at these things. So, what you know, I've gotten the habit, and I keep saying this, and I don't know how many people do it. I have a set of colored pens. And when I notice this, like the U's, I start circling them. The word I in the Sunday message about Paul, Philippians 3. I circle them. That way, next time I read it, then it just jumps out and say, man, this is Paul's attitude about what's happening here, you know, and it jumps out of you instead of just being black and white. But at any rate, let's move on with this. So I want to show you that he's speaking to them, period, all right, is what we're talking about, all right? So when we come to, so we already did the false Christ. And what we found, there was, I'll just review this for you. There were four messianic movements. One led by a man named Menahem, the other Eleazar B. Ananias, his name was.
I did.
Okay. The other one, John of Allah, if that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And then the last one by Simon B. Giora. Okay. And we get those names from Josephus. All right. So you see that and you understand it. And we looked at Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 8 to see the resistance these fellows were given against Rome and that sort of thing. So when we pick this up, let's go to verses 6 and 7 then. 6 and 7, where it says this. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. All right? And so far, we're talking about the end. What are we speaking about?
The end of the age.
End of what?
The end of the age.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about the end of the old covenant age is what we're talking about. Remember, we have the old covenant still in effect, but the new covenant is there. Paul said we are able ministers of the new covenant. So they're overlapping, just like Isaac and Ishmael overlapped, all right, in their lives, as you see in Matthew, Galatians there. So keep that in mind. So they're overlapping, and what they're looking for here is the end of the age, the old covenant age. And what that has to do with, folks, is this. It's very simple. It's for not the destruction of the people of Israel, but rather the destruction of the temple. All right? Because the temple was a center of actually the old covenant, because they had to come three times in a year, if you remember that, to offer sacrifices during those certain feast days. All right? And so when that temple's destroyed, the priesthood is gone, the sacrifices are gone, so the old covenant is also gone. And of course, what other book can we read about that in? One that people think Paul wrote, which I agree with.
Revelation?
Hebrews.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, Hebrews talks about it flowing away, okay, mm-hmm. as you look at that. So don't be frightened, he says here. Then the first part of verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in and in various places. Now, we'll continue that in a second. But there were wars throughout the Roman Empire during the period before the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay, many wars. And Rome attacked other nations and sent armies into the far ends of the empire to put down rebellions. Now, there's a Roman historian, you might have heard of him, Tacitus, and he reported disturbances in Germany, Africa, Thrace, Gaul, Parthia, Britain. Now, Britain was a long ways away.
Yeah.
So, and so they were rebelling also in Armenia. So what he declares is that there were thousands of Jews were killed in separate cities in the conflicts between 59 and 66 A.D., so these occurred in Caesarea, Scythopolis, Tyre, Alexandria, and Joppa, and several other places. So Jesus told the disciples that they would be hearing of wars and rumors of wars leading up to the end of their generation. By the way, how long is a Jewish generation?
40 years.
40 years. Now I'm gonna ask Rose Hawkins a question.
Uh-oh.
In the Jewish mindset, in Jewish interpretation, how long is 1,000 years?
40 years. A generation.
It's a generation. It's 40 years. That's how the Jews perceived. So when someone wrote 1,000 years, I meant, hey, that's a generation. Okay? So keep that in mind, and that'll answer some questions that we get to later on. Then in Matthew, the end of verse 7, here it says, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Famines and earthquakes. Now, there were famines and disease throughout the world of the empire, the Roman Empire. For example, let's go over to Acts chapter 11. All right. This is another sign. Yes, a sign of famines and pestilence. And we'll go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and let's notice verses 27 and 28. Now, at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. Okay? Now, I'll give you homework. Go find when Claudius was the emperor. You're going to find it's prior to, all right, Nero. And that sort of thing. Okay. So, you know, so we see it right here in the scripture. Josephus also reported deaths were caused by famine. The church, as far as away as Corinth, participated in famine relief efforts. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-5. Okay. And also in Romans 15, 25-28, where Paul took up offerings to take back to the saints who were experiencing famine there in the Jerusalem area.
What was that one you just mentioned?
1 Corinthians 16, 1-5.
Yeah.
And Romans 15, 25-28. Now, I used to believe that, remember early on in Acts, everybody sold what they had, gave it to the apostles so it could be spread out to everybody. And I was always taught, yeah, that, yeah, that's why Paul took the offerings to send back to those folks, because the Lord didn't show up immediately. See, that's what they were looking for. And but as you read history, in fact, I have on my other computer screen the final decade before the end. And if you don't have that, you should ask us for it. Okay. Because we can send it to you a PDF file and begin reading that. So it's a lot of, you know, it's history. And you don't have to start page one. You can go halfway through whatever heading you want to watch, okay, or listen to. So as we see that, then famine and pestilence come. Then also in 24-7, I got to go back there. 24-7, it says, and earthquakes. Now, there were earthquakes in various places during the first century leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. Do you remember a famous one in which Paul was in jail with Silas? Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 16. Remember the Philippian jailer?
Mm-hmm.
They were because of an earthquake, that sort of thing. And then even Paul, in his travels to Rome, as a prisoner in Acts 27, you'll see that definite things, the seas roared, and it was off season. They shouldn't have been roaring then, but they were because of the earthquakes under the sea. You know, when I was on the ship in New York from 71 to 73, October in each case, I think it was, we carry four scientists with us, right? And they took samples of the seawater. And believe it or not, we had a wire that had these clips with bottles, little bottles, sample bottles on them. And what would happen is that they put that a mile down in the ocean where we were. And then they drop this little weight on the string, and it would hit one bottle and it would fill, and then a weight would fall and hit the next one all the way for a mile. It took all day to do it. But they used to do that three times a week. But they also kept track of what was going on the ocean floor. And in that 2 years, in 2 years, I took 12 deployments out there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, if you want to say, 14 earthquakes were recorded there, and which causes something, you know, they just don't happen. When they happen, then they cause problems, and that's why science follows them. So, any rate,
excuse me, preacher, we had one in Lake Ontario quite a few years ago, and I remember I was in bed when we lived on Mendota Drive, and all of a sudden I heard this racket. And the things on my dresser were dancing around. And we found out sometime during that day that there was an earthquake in Lake Ontario, and it affected us way up in Mendota Drive. I don't know where else it affected, but I thought, this is weird. What's going on? You know, things were shaking around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was right in the lake.
Yeah, earthquakes are, they're something. Just, you know what that made me think of, dancing around? We had the privilege of watching a space shuttle take off once when we were down visiting Susan's parents.
Uh-huh.
And Wesley took us over within 2 miles, about the closest you could get. And it was on, what do they call it, the causeways over the bananas or whatever. But before we left the house, Wesley and Alice removed everything off their shelves, you know, knickknacks and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
I put them in a box with paper and that kind of stuff. And I says, how come you're going to do that? He says, well, we're 20 miles away, but when that thing takes off, you think it'd be the end of the world, you know? So that's a man-made thing. Think about, you know, what happens with the earth and that sort of thing. So, yeah, you're right. So these things are signs now, okay? They're signs, and that's what we have to understand about that thing. Then in verse number 8 of Matthew 24, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. The birth pangs. So where are birth pangs?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you ladies that have had children understand that, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pains. I thought you said pain. Okay, birth pain. Travail is another word in the Bible for that time.
Okay. So the I have the New American Standard says birth pangs is the word it uses. But at any rate.
Maybe that's where it is. Because I knew that was the word that was used.
Right. So at any rate, this is the beginning of what then? It's going to be the beginning of what we call the tribulation. Hmm. All right. As we look at that. And so they're going to have to endure tribulation, which we're going to see in verses 9 here through 14. So let's read verse 9 to begin with this. Then you will be delivered. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. So they're going to enter into this, deliver you to tribulation. All right. So, you know, we call that persecution. The apostles and disciples were hated, persecuted, and even killed for their faith and loyalty to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, can you give me an example of someone that was killed because of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts? Let's just do the book
Stephen.
Of Acts. Stephen's the first one.
Right.
Okay. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. And, of course, Paul was there to hold the coats, if you remember. Who's the next person? Acts chapter 12. Would be James. James the Apostle, who was a brother of John. Okay, which is very important. I always feel that's important because John and James asked the Lord if they could, you know, sit on his hands, right and left hand, when the kingdom started. And he said, I can't give that to you. But he says, are you able to drink the cup that I can drink? And they said, yes, we can. He says, well, then you will. And of course, that cup was death, right? That we understand. In chapter 14, then, we know that Paul was stoned and left for dead. Right? God evidently wasn't finished with him, which we know. But Acts 14, 19. And the apostles took him back in and he was revived, okay? And, of course, with Paul, you can see, okay, let's do this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 so you can get the idea of what's going on here. These are all things the Lord spoke about, okay? Here we go. let's begin in verse 24. 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane, he says. I more so. In far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, cold, et cetera, et cetera. All right. And then he even includes in this the care of all the churches. But the point being what? That the persecutions were real. Mm-hmm. And why were they there? Because the Lord told the disciples, this is what's going to happen. Okay. This is what's going to happen. So I often think, you know, when Paul, after Paul got saved, he went down to visit Peter. If you remember that. Then there was another time when he went down and Barnabas brought him to the disciples because Peter was privately. And I wonder how much Peter shared with him concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught concerning these things, you know, because Paul picks right up on it in his epistles. Even in Romans, when he says our salvation is nearer than it was yesterday, okay, it's near. In other words, Paul was looking for that consummation of the Lord coming in one covenant ending and another one beginning, and Satan shall shortly be under your feet, that kind of thing, as you go on. Of course, the Thessalonians has a number of references there. So as you look at that, you know, it makes me think about that sort of thing. So then in my notes, I have that there were Christian martyrs throughout the Roman Empire during AD 30 to AD 70. Reportedly, most of the 12 apostles were killed prior to Jesus coming on, coming in judgment on Jerusalem in AD 70. One verse that's important to look at, John chapter 21. I'm going to turn over there so I can read it to you. And of course, you're welcome to go over there. This is where the Lord's talking to Peter. And this is why a lot of people think that John made it, but I don't think he did. In verse 20 of John 21, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. You know, that's how hard would that have been for Peter to realize that, if you want to say John was the favorite of Jesus. And that's why a lot of people don't believe that John wrote the last chapter that was added by one of his disciples. All right. Because he wasn't the kind of fellow that would write something like that. But at any rate, so Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrayed you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, he's not saying that John is going to be alive when the Lord returns. He's telling Peter, you just do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about anybody else here. Okay. So I think that's an important verse as you look at that. All right. By the way, tradition tells us that John was martyred in Ephesus. All right. You want to look at those things. Oh, Susan, scrolling through. What are you looking for? Okay. You just looking. So then in verse 10 of chapter 24, it says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love, verse 10. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Well, that's a sad testimony. Some of the people around the disciples deserted, betrayed them. And Paul describes to us how Demas, remember that?
Yeah.
Demas forsook him, 2 Timothy 4:10. In fact, at one point, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:16, everybody's gone, okay? Nobody stood with him, which is a shame. He says, all they in Asia have forsaken me. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. where are the seven churches from Revelation located? Geographically.
In Asia?
In Asia. Yeah. Now, we know that's Turkey. We call it Turkey today. Mm-hmm. But Asia was part of that, if mm-hmm. that's what it's called. It wasn't the continent, okay? It'd be like Monroe County or something like that. But that's where they were located, okay? Located. So, which is very interesting. So, falling away. So, false believers also went out from them. John records it in 1 John 2:19. Let me read that to you. 1 John 2:19. Where it says, 18, children is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. So who are the Antichrists then? See, we seem to perceive Antichrist as spiritual being.
Yeah, people who fell away.
It's people who fell away that became prophets in their own minds and started teaching other things, okay, is who these Antichrists were. They were, Antichrist. They were against Christ.
Okay? That's good insight.
Yeah, as you see this, okay? So that's interesting. So then, where do I, 10? Then we go to 11:24-11. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. All right, will mislead mm-hmm. many. Now, again, let's go back to 1 John again. I'm sorry, I should have stayed there. 1 John chapter 4. Okay. 1 John 4, notice verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So here the false prophets are equated to spirits. Again, we're not talking about things that float around in the air, okay? Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then we also see 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Okay, so that's interesting to me. Heresies, and what's the number one heresy? Denying our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the heresy. But even more than that, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. When's that going to happen?
Before the end.
Okay, during that time with Rome coming in. Okay, we call the tribulation. That sort of thing. Okay, so where else are we here? And also Paul, if I go to 2 Thessalonians, this should be very familiar to you. The mysteries. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says this, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So we're talking about lawlessness. The Lord is talking about lawlessness is going to come. And so the mystery of that lawlessness is already at work. Okay. Only he who now restrains will do until he is taken out of the way. So then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. See, so you see where Paul's mind is.
Okay, but excuse me, please. Okay, yeah. What is that spirit who will let will? But what is that? Is that the lawlessness? What is that?
Okay, lawlessness is already at work. According to Romans 1, it's always been here. But the spirit
that will let. What is that?
Yeah. Now, most commentators, not alone, is Tim still with us? I don't know if he has any ideas on that. But most folks think that that's the spirit of God.
I think that's what we learned. Well, I learned way back at First Bible. All this business here, I just wondered if there was something different.
Now, there could be. I don't know. Okay. At this point. But somebody has to be taken out of the way so that this can come to fruition, see, that we see. All right? So you always have little things to study and restudy, don't you?
Right. Uh-huh.
As you look at these things. All right? So let's come on back to 24 then. Let's see. Lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. What a shame that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their love grows cold. It's just a sad situation there.
Now, that's the love for the truth of the gospel. Is that what that is, you mean?
It just says that most people's love will grow cold. And what has the Lord already spoken about?
Lungs.
That children return their parents in, their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That sort of thing. I mean, it wasn't. And remember, this is a time that the world has never seen or will ever see again.
Yeah.
We're talking about this tribulation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great tribulation. That sort of thing. So it was definitely a sad situation. All right. As you look at this. And by the way, you know, people want to tell me that the reason the Lord didn't come back is because Israel did not meet certain criteria. I have been looking for that criteria for 45 years.
I was going to ask you, what is it quite?
There isn't any. All right. They turned. You think about this. When they came out of Egypt, if you were a Jew and you had a family back then and you're holding the kids' hands walking through the Red Sea and this water's piled up over you and here comes the Egyptian army after you, but you make it through and they're drowned. And then the Lord starts feeding you with manna and giving you water and all this. And then you get the law and certain things like that. And take you on to the promised land. And because 10 guys were scared to death of the giants, okay, what happened?
They didn't go in.
They turned away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right in that first generation. And then the second generation grows up, and they go across the Jordan River with Joshua, right? And mm-hmm. they conquer the land. Although not all of it, but most of the land, and you know, they were fooled, and some of them had to make deals with the inhabitants. But what happened to them? I mean, when we read the account in Judges, how spiritual is it?
Not very.
That's what God said: tell your children to tell your children.
That's
you
right.
know, to pass it on.
Yeah.
And traditions have been passed on.
Right.
But I don't think the miracles of God have been passed on in the Jewish faith.
Well, not, you know, and the faith wasn't passed on, if that's such a thing.
Right.
The reason for the faith wasn't passed on, as you read that Old Testament. And as I've done my studies on the Old Testament, when Josiah, when they find the scriptures again, remember?
They wept.
He read them to the people. That was the first time during that time frame, first time they celebrated the Passover since Solomon.
Oh,
that's a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, so mm-hmm. there was never they were supposed to be the people that manifested Christ to the world. And, you know, if we took that realm to Christianity, I wonder if someone judged us how that would play out, you know, how that would play out. So at any rate, it's all very interesting as you see this. So then he says this in verse 13, all right? But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So if you make it out now, who's going to endure to the end, by the way?
The overcomers.
Okay, well, we call them overcomers. But what are they? How are they going to overcome?
The martyrs, though.
Well, if they're martyred, they're not going to make it till the end.
No, that went through the tribulation.
They're going to do what the Lord told them to do. Get out of town.
Yep.
Pray you're not with child. Remember? Don't go get your coat. Just get out of town. Paul went so far to tell people, if you're not married, don't get married.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians.
Run to Petra.
The stress is going to be so much. See? That sort of thing. All right? As you look at it. Then finally we come for tonight to verse 14. This gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Okay? Then the end will come. That's when the Lord's going to, you know, the tribulation and all that, the Lord comes. Now, I think what we have to understand is this. And I asked you last week, and I don't expect an answer tonight, because it's something that needs to be studied. Is the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom the same as Paul's gospel? And as you look at that, you know, we read things like the gospel to the circumcision, the gospel to the uncircumcision. Are they the same gospel? All right. And you know, Peter took one message, Paul took the other. So as you look at these things, it's very important, because the gospel was preached in all the inhabited area of the Roman Empire in the period leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but there's Coney Barenhausen and other men that I've studied believe that Paul was set free from prison from Rome, and he went to Spain, and then he came back and he was rearrested, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, which could have happened, which means that his gospel went that far. And if the Romans were, persecution taking place up in England, Britain, it was called then, all right, perhaps the gospel got that far, all right, as you see that. So the Roman Empire was actually the inhabited earth. If you open your concordance and look at the word world, all right, there's different words for world. It's not the earth itself, but it's the inhabitable part of the Roman Empire. Paul said in Colossians 1:6, the gospel which has come to you as it has also in all the world. Colossians 1:23, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. 1 Timothy 3:16, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Then in Acts 2:5, even in the day of Pentecost, in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. All right. So that's very interesting. Now, let me see. I have a note that I have here. I hope it's in this Bible. I'm going to go to Acts 28. All right. Say, did I put it in this Bible? No, I didn't, but I kind of remember what it was. In Acts 28, verse 30 and 31, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. So Paul was teaching the kingdom. Kingdom of God. And you're going to find in the Acts, he does that a number of times. There's the gospel of the Son of God, the gospel of God, the gospel of the grace of God, gospel of the kingdom, all right? And there's more, you know, you have the kingdom of the Son, things like that. Now, here's what I'd like you to remember. Does anybody know where the word gospel actually comes from? I know it means good news.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually God's spell.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And then they put it together. It's what God is doing, all right, in relationship to men, as we see that. And it all has one ending. And as a dispensationalist, I did not see one ending. I saw many endings.